Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Roundtable, Win Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. This time of the year, ladies and gentlemen, the sun shines, the birds sing, the flowers bloom, the sap is running from the trees. And speaking of sap, here it is, Fred Allen in person.
Straighten me up, will you, Jimmy? I can't. Thanks. I'm so weak at this late hour, I just fall over, you see. I must remember to get stiffer suspenders for next week. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, James, what is that sap innuendo you just foaled here a second ago? You know, one of these evenings, you'll overdo it with one of your witty introductions.
Well, gee, Fred, once in a while a fella has to let himself go.
Well, one of these nights, you let yourself go, Jimmy, and I'll let you go, too, to keep yourself company. You know, I once had another announcer who let himself go during an introduction. And do you, by any chance, know what happened to him?
Know what?
He is now announcing in the Owl... Don't overdo it. You've got a word there, I mean. No gestures with a word like what. Now, do you know what happened to this announcer?
No, what?
Well, that delivery's no good either. Haven't you got a just old ready-made what in there you can give? Do you know what happened to this announcer?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, I'll tell you. He's now announcing in the Owl Drugstore on 44th Street. Now, if you should go into that... if you'd get a union tailor on those suits, the stitches wouldn't jump. You perspire a little and the whole suit goes up your back there. Well, this announcer is in the Owl Drugstore, and if you should happen to go into this particular Owl Drugstore and you order ham and eggs, the gentleman who takes your order will turn to the kitchen and shout, "Ham and eggs!" And then from the kitchen, a voice will reply, "Ham and eggs!" And then from somewhere in back, another voice will echo, "Ham and eggs!" And then from way back in the dark, dingy confines of this Owl Drugstore, a lone voice will cry out, "Coming up!" That is the announcer who once worked for me. And once, only once, mind you, let himself go during my introduction. Now, what do you say?
Well, if that guy is getting 3 square meals a day, he's better off than I am.
Oh, now, Jimmy, don't tell me that you are undernourished. After all, with that rotunda under your vest there, your stomach looks like either end of the Staten Island Ferry. Little seaweed on there for a sarong, and you wouldn't know. If you open that coat, something tells me we'll hear a watermelon calling its mate.
Oh, yeah?
And with this scintillating rejoinder from Mr. Wellington, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Arrival of spring is officially confirmed as Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus opens at Madison Square Garden for its four-week engagement. Tonight, Texaco News visits the circus and brings you a preview of the greatest show on Earth's outstanding features. At the entrance of the circus, of course, we find the traditional hoarse-voiced announcer.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. The big show's about to start on the inside. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Outside, we also find the perennial little man and his wife from out of town.
Hey, what's that sign say, Myrna?
Says, circus. Must be some kind of hijinks.
Think we ought to go in, Myrna?
You bet. If it's half as good as it smells, it's a great show.
We follow them in and stop for a word with the circus publicity man, Sam Levine. How does the circus look this year, Sam?
You're asking me? I told him not to open it. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens it.
Well, who is John?
John Ringling North. He owns the circus.
Oh, he's the man you were talking to.
Mm-hmm. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens it.
What did Mr. North say?
Sammy says, all right, you're my press agent. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you that I wouldn't do if it didn't have to be done.
Uh-huh.
But when you ask me not to open it, Sammy says, I gotta say to you, Sam, no, in the affirmative.
Well, he must have had a reason.
All right, so he had a little trouble. With a circus, you gotta expect trouble.
What trouble?
Well, the dog-faced boy suddenly gets distemper.
No kidding, distemper, huh?
The sword swallower gets indigestion. He's hiccuping knives and forks.
Knives and forks.
The fire eater overdone it. One of his tonsils is a clinker.
Well, naturally.
I know John's upset with the elephant losing 400 pounds. The elephant's skin and bones.
What happened to the elephant?
Malnutrition. The elephant's feeder was nearsighted. For 2 months, he kept leaving the elephant's hay at the wrong end. The elephant was sitting pretty, but he wasn't getting no nourishment.
Mr. North surely had plenty of trouble.
But that's got nothing to do with me.
Well, naturally.
All right, so I'm only the circus press agent, but I pleaded with him. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens it.
Well, why weren't you ready?
I didn't have no adjective.
No adjective? Well, what's adjective?
What makes a circus? Is it the animals, the clowns, the bareback riders? No. It's the circus press agent. And what makes a circus press agent? An adjective.
One adjective?
One adjective. Now look, last year, for instance, the circus was resplendent.
Resplendent.
The year before, mammoth.
Mammoth. And this year?
This year, I ain't ready.
Well, why not? Why not?
This year, it's all new. The circus is streamlined. How can I find an adjective that'll... Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I got it.
A streamlined adjective? What is it?
Stream-lousal. This year, the circus is stream-lousal. Let's go, John. I'm ready.
And Sam Levine. As Sam Levine, the press agent, scurries off to see John, we step inside to see the big show. We elbow our way through the milling crowds and stop to look at the wild animals. Here on the left, we see the hyenas. Tell me, where do you keep the hyenas during the winter, trainer?
We rent them to Bob Hope to mix in with his studio audience.
Across from the hyenas is the elephant nook. One of the elephants is just about to trumpet. I forgot to say, was formerly with Louis Armstrong. We see a little man standing near the elephants. We stop to chat with him. Are you an elephant lover, brother?
Nah, I was just trying something out.
Oh, an experiment?
Yeah, you've heard that old saying, an elephant never forgets.
Yes?
Well, I thought I would put an elephant to the test.
And did you?
Yeah, last year when the circus opened, I gave that third elephant there a piece of candy. An O. Henry bar.
An O. Henry bar, and
yeah.
This year?
I came back to see if the elephant remembered me.
And did he?
The elephant not only remembered me, he even remembered I'd given him the O. Henry bar.
Well, how do you know?
He just gave me this old cellophane wrapper to throw away for him.
He did. We turned from the... You ought to throw it back at him after... We turned from the elephant's wastebasket to see the freaks. On the first platform, we find the female monstrosity, the fat lady, Stout Sadie. We stopped to pass the time of day. Hello, Stout Sadie.
Will you take this thing out of my mouth?
This little piece of cardboard?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better.
Say, what is this cardboard?
It's a bookmark. I got 18 double chins.
Oh.
Have to keep a bookmark in my mouth.
Why?
Well, when I want to talk, I reach up till I feel the bookmark. I know which wrinkle to open.
I see what you mean. Well, how much, please, now? Stout Sadie has an agent. You can't get her business that way. Thank you. But how much do you weigh? How much do you weigh, Stout Sadie?
I can't even find out.
Why not?
Every time I get on one of them penny weighing machines, the same card comes out.
What does the card say?
It says, now put the wagon on.
Leaving Stout Sadie... Stout Sadie, we stop at Gargantua's cage. A man stands gazing at the world's largest gorilla. The man seems to be talking to himself. We listen.
Why? Why? Why?
Something troubling you, sir?
I just been studying Gargantua.
Yes?
Why, I keep asking myself. Why?
Well, why what?
Well, here's Gargantua, a monkey, leading the life of a furry Riley.
Yeah?
He's got a wife, a home, all he can eat for nothing. No work, no taxes to pay, nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Why? Why?
Well, why what?
Darwin said man descended from the monkey, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So that's what I can't understand. Why? Why?
Well, while we are trying to figure this out... While we are trying to figure this out, an argument attracts our attention. Excited voices seem to be coming from the next booth.
You will take it. That is who will take it.
Rushing over, we find the Siamese twins in heated discussion.
Doom cop! Doom cop!
Doom cop!
Just a minute, boys. What's the trouble?
We are the Siamese twins, Mo and Joe.
I am Mo.
And I am Joe.
Well, what's the trouble?
Joe is having a headache.
One minute, please.
Who is doing the talking, Mo or Joe?
All right.
Joe is doing the talking.
Now, just a minute, boys.
First, who will doing the talking, Mo or Joe?
You can talk together, can't you?
Good. We will zusammensprechen.
Fine. Now, what's wrong?
Joe is having a sore throat and a headache.
Yes?
Joe is asking Mo to take an aspirin to cure Joe's headache.
Yes?
Mo is refusing to take the aspirin to cure Joe.
Well, look, if Joe has the headache, why doesn't Joe take the aspirin himself?
Joe is already eating a Zymote hokey to cure his sore throat. Joe's mouth is full.
Well, somebody ought to take it.
Yeah, Mo will take it.
Nine, Joe will take it.
Wait a minute. Just a minute, fellas. You boys shouldn't fight.
Siamese twins cannot stop having arguments.
Why not?
Siamese twins, to be Siamese twins...
Yes?
Something has got to come between them.
And so we leave the Siamese twins. We leave the Siamese twins without seeing the connection. And as night falls... And as night falls on 8th Avenue and the lazy moon rises slowly over Sloppy Joe's, tired but happy, we say aloha to the razorbacks and funny clowns, and we board our BMT sunken gondola that glides us safely back to Jackson Heights in the good old USA. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Kenny Baker, we are able to shake off the effects of our circus jaunt. For his first number, Kenny sings Amapola.
On a distant shore, a girl with a way of whispering, si, senor. Each night, while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. Amapola, my pretty little poppy, you're like that lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Mama Paula, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charm from you.
Congratulations, Larry, my boy.
Congratulations? For what?
Why, on looking like your older self, Larry. Gosh, you know, you're about the only one of this whole crowd I can recognize tonight. Everybody slicked up like $6 worth of wet heels. Look at Jimmy over there. He's had his mustache ma-fact. Al Goodman's got shoes on tonight. Kenny Baker's wearing a piece of an omelet for a necktie. And if that isn't a section torn out of an old rainbow Portland's got on for a dress, what's gotten into everybody tonight?
Why, it's spring, Fred.
Spring is responsible for this sartorial metamorphosis?
Sure, spring makes everyone think of putting his best foot forward, eager, too, for any refreshing change. And may I remind you that your Texaco dealer also holds out the promise of a refreshing change, a different driving thrill for the days ahead. A change to Sky Chief. His premium gasoline will renew your feeling of pride and pleasure in your car's performance. For with Sky Chief in the tank, your car springs into life at the touch of the starter, accelerates, answers your call for power quietly, smoothly. Its flexible power keeps your car gliding in traffic, flying the highways, soaring over the hills. Yes, driving is fun with Sky Chief. It's your Texaco dealer's different premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Thank you.
Ah, oh, thy sweet voice played by Al Goodman and his Texaco valve grinders. And now, oh, hello, Portland.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, what is on your mind, if you will forgive the overstatement?
Oh, I just stopped in to say goodbye.
And step on a laugh accidentally? You just stopped in to say, well, goodbye, you said?
I'm not going.
Well, wait a minute. Wait now. Let's start from the beginning again. You've confused me here. First laugh showed up all night. You stepped on it. I'll have to get it steamed and pressed now and get it back ready for next week. What's on your mind, if you will forgive the overstatement? Take it up from there. Does it cost more with Afra if you read it twice? I mean...
No. Well, I just stopped in to say goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
I'm not going. You are.
I am.
Yes. Aren't you leaving our show?
Portland, you're not psychic. You haven't been reading the sponsor's mind, have you?
You're going on the Campbell Soup program.
Oh, well, that... Why, yes, I'm going to be in a little play next Friday night. It's called My Client Curly.
Well, it's been fun working with you, Mr. Allen.
But I'm not going...
Well, now, just so you'll remember Mom and me, here is a basket of cheese sandwiches we made for you to take along.
Oh. Little mementos?
Well, two of them are mementos. The rest are camembert.
Now, just a minute. What is all this cheesy sentiment here? This bon voyage business. Bon fromage business. Can't I... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Can't I even go on another program one
Mr.
night?
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Maestro.
I, Goodman, to you, Allen, wish to say one word of farewell.
And the word is?
Farewell.
An ad lib, eh? But, Maestro, I...
In my grief, words are failing Goodman. There's only one way a broken-hearted musician can say goodbye. Boys.
The quaintest.
Stop the music and the singing both. We don't know which to blame now when you do them together like that. What is this, Maestro? Portland, I was conducting you singing while you were conducting the orchestra. I hope you... Portland, what is this, Maestro? Portland brings cheese and you come up with corn. What is this? After all, I'm not joining the Foreign Legion.
Oh, you mean you're coming back?
Well, of course I am.
Coming back, he says. And I'm paying $2 for the arrangement of Auld Lang Syne.
Well, that's why you should have cried in there, you see. So what?
So next Wednesday you are coming back. It's another $2 for Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Here.
Now, look, once and for all, Now, who spread this rumor that I was going for good?
Well, Kenny Baker said
Kenny, that... Kenny, always Kenny. That kid looks like Skippy, but he's got the soul of Lucretia Borgia. Where is that dimpled rat?
I don't know.
Oh, Jimmy Wallington.
Yes, Fred.
Where's Kenny?
Oh, is it time for Kenny's entrance? I'll get going.
Kenny's entrance? What is this?
Quiet, please. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you that worthy successor to Fred Allen, the new comedy star of the Texaco Star Theater, Kenny, a laugh-a-minute Baker in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a funny thing happened on the way to the theater tonight.
Kenny.
Oh, are you still around?
Am I still around? Now, listen, you little fifth columnist.
Now, don't get excited, F.A.
Well, who's excited? I'm doing a guest shot Friday night. I am not leaving this program. How can I leave? Who'll get the laughs?
Oh, we'll get along some way.
Oh, no, Kenny. I am not a man who leaves his friends in the lurch.
But think of yourself, F.A. This dramatic part may be the start of a new career. The legitimate theater. Grease paint. Cane and spats. I'm glad for you, old pal. This is from the heart.
The heart. You have a heart you can put in a pistachio shell. And when it's in there, it'll rattle you. You have more ulterior motives, Kenny, than a man bringing an apple to the draft board.
Oh, you've got me wrong, everybody.
Don't forget, never pick on an apple in the script. After all, if it wasn't for an apple originally, none of us would be around here today. So anytime you see an apple in the script, tip your hat and go by quietly.
Well, you've got me wrong, F.A.
Oh, yeah? said he, recreating the mood. You were trying to get me off this program to make room... to make room for Kenny, a laugh-a-minute baker.
Honest, F.A., I just heard about the emergency and I thought I'd jump into your breach.
What, you... You leave my breeches out of this. You know very well I can't leave this show. I have a contract.
I had my lawyer look at it. You can break Clause 7.
Clause 7 won't help. I'll be back here next Wednesday now, and that's final.
Gosh, Mr. Allen, I sure am glad you're not going.
Likewise, Goodman. Going or coming, Goodman is looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's just as well, F.A. You'd probably be sticking your neck out going in for drama. You aren't built to handle a heavy role.
Oh, I saw Anita Bagel once.
A bagel is a delicatessen role, Portland. Kenny is referring to the theater.
Delicatessen or theater? A ham's a ham.
It may interest you to know, Mr. Baker, that I am an old dramatic actor. I don't want to seem to boast, but some years ago, I was known as the Orson Welles of East Orange, New Jersey.
Why, I didn't know that you were a...
Why, it might also interest you to know that when the news got around that I was doing a serious play on this Campbell show, Saroyan made me an offer. Came out of the automat right on the street and made me an offer. And a spontaneous organization sprung up overnight.
What kind of an organization?
You haven't seen the evening papers? You haven't heard of the CCTDFAFTLT?
What's that?
Why, it's obvious. The Citizens Committee to draft Fred Allen for the Legitimate Theater. What's that, he says? Why, it's bigger than the John Doe Club already.
Who's behind this movement, Mr. Allen?
Well, I don't know the gentleman. They say he's a theater lover of some kidney in the community. His name is Mr. Preebles.
Mr. Preebles?
Yes, Mr. Preebles. Probably a very important... come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
I'm Mrs. Horlick, party worker for the CCTDFAFTLT.
Well, yes, Mrs. Horlick. It's peculiar. We were just small world, after all. We were just talking here about the wonderful work you're doing, Mrs. Horlick.
Mr. Allen, on behalf of our president, Mr. Preebles, and our 30,000 theater lovers, I implore you to give up this mockery known as radio and come back and save the legitimate theater.
Madam, this is indeed an honor, but I...
No, but Mr. Preebles insists.
Madam, I must have time.
Mr. Preebles says act now.
But, madam, I...
In the words of Mr. Preebles, the theater needs Allen.
All right. All right, I say to you, Mrs. Horlick, all right. If the theater needs me, I shall give up radio. You can tell Mr. Preebles.
Congratulations, F.A.
Why, Mr. Preebles, what are you doing here?
Mr. Preebles, so you're Preebles, eh? Well, you wait until I introduce this next number. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Wynn Murray sings Play, Play, Tina. And now, Mr. Preebles, Baker, you and I will adjourn to the woodshed.
Oh, gee, F.A.
I've got my...
Play, Tina, play, Tina, play. stunner, how we wooed her till we won her, and they wed. Play, play, Tina, let your ocarina tell how he and she then raised a family, which were you and me instead of they. Oh, play, Tina, play, Tina, play.
Everybody's applauding. What? There's a special guest, a gentleman with the most unusual hobby, Mr. Seymour Thames. What is, and he should with those bifocals, too. What is your hobby, Seymour?
Movie bonus. I go to 9 pictures a day just looking for mistakes.
You mean boner? Boners like casting a certain gray-haired gentleman who mingles with the quiz kids on the coast in a picture. You mean those kind of boners?
No, little things. Take today. First I seen a Western.
Yeah?
The villain's having a gunfight. All he's got is one Colt 6-shooter, and he shoots 7 times.
Well, he probably had a Colt in his head. You see, that would give him the extra Colt needed.
Well, you see...
Don't blame me. I didn't write it. I'm only doing the best I can. Trying to put a little verbal adrenaline in a dead line here.
The second feature is Dorothy L'Amour as a South Seas native. Only her sarong has got a zipper on. A zipper in the South Seas.
Well, of course, you don't know.
I'm laughing.
Well, that's your privilege, but I...
And then the third feature comes on. A guy's a castaway on a raft. All to once, he says, "We're saved. There's a steamer 30 miles away." Now, how could any guy see a steamer 30 miles away below the horizon? I ask you.
Well, don't ask me. Ask our maritime expert, Commodore James Wallington. Can you explain this for Seymour, Jimmy?
Why, of course, Fred. A ship may be completely hidden from sight below the horizon, but the smoke from her funnel will be a dead giveaway, visible for miles. And smoke from an automobile exhaust can be a dead giveaway, too. A sign of excessive wear in the engine, with expensive repairs the only solution. Smoke means trouble. So don't let your car become a smoker. Keep that in mind when you heed the advice of the maker of your car and change the oil in your crankcase this spring. Change to insulated Havilland and safeguard your engine from excessive wear, of which smoke is a warning. Havilland is insulated to withstand today's higher engine temperatures that can break down ordinary oils. It's also distilled to remove carbon-forming impurities, another factor in engine wear. So act now. Get rid of that old winter oil that might lead to smoke and trouble. Change to insulated Havilland at your Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was a demi-tasse arrangement of You Should Be Set to Music from the Broadway review Crazy with the Heat. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Roundtable. This is the only unrehearsed discussion group in radio that concentrates on trivia. No matter too small for our consideration. If we can see it, we'll discuss it. Portland opens the meeting simply by calling the roll, if you will, Portland.
Mr. George Nagel of Jamaica, Long Island.
Well, good evening, Mr. Nagel.
How are you, Mr. Allen?
May I ask you what you do? Do you work over in New York or in Jamaica, may
I? Well, with Jamaica Racetrack.
You're at the Jamaica Racetrack?
Yes, sir.
In an official capacity, sir?
Well, they call me superintendent.
You're superintendent, are you really? How long the track opens this coming Saturday,
on
doesn't
Saturday,
it?
Saturday, yes, sir.
And it's all been remodeled recently.
All
I've
remodeled,
been reading.
All rebuilt from start to finish.
From start to finish. How many people will the track accommodate now?
Well, we seat about 16,000 and safely take care of about 50.
50, that's 66,000, huh?
Well,
well, of course, when there's one born every minute, you have to make room for them.
Plenty of room for them to move around.
Plenty of room. You never get so crowded that the horses have to get in with the crowd and...
Well, not that big.
Wouldn't be... did you ever... did any of Bing Crosby's horses ever run over at Jamaica?
No, no. They don't run any place.
They don't run... he probably has the only stable of pedestrian horses in the business. There's a couple of hopes, a couple of jokes Bob Hope had left over, mailed them on to me to try to get rid of them. Poor Bing with his horses. I heard the jockey got off and came in third, placed in a recent race, and then the horse came in fourth. But I was going to ask you, can you account for the great interest there is in horse racing throughout the country? Why is it, Mr. Nagel, that millions of people, it's almost habit-forming, millions of people play horses every day. Why is that?
Well, I get a thrill of getting something for nothing, picking a winner and...
Well, how many do get something for nothing?
Oh, very few in the long run.
In the long run. The I never could figure out tempts a person to play the horses. After all, a man goes down to the racetrack, he bets $2. The race starts, the horse gets the exercise... The jockey gets the ride. The guy at the mutual window gets the $2. So what does the guy get who originally played the $2 that started the whole thing?
Well, he winds up with a case of nervous prostration.
Nervous prostration to show.
To show.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Nagel. And now...
Miss Joy Latman of New York City.
Well, good evening, Miss Latman.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
May I ask your business or profession?
I'm a student of physical anthropology.
A student of physical anthropology? Well, I only went to kindergarten, Miss Latman. If you could explain either one of those words, I would very much like to know what they mean, if you could arrange it.
Anthropology is the study of man, and the physical variations mean the size of the man and the color of his eyes and the color of his hair and the length of his bones.
These, you mean these old, passé men, those
old... The passé ones and the recent ones. We work with bones and with living people.
You do, really? You have a sideline? Well, don't, Don't tell me. What is your purpose in studying anthropology? I mean, do you want to teach later on?
I'd like to work in a museum, and I'd like to go out and dig up some bones and measure them.
No? You would, really? Tell me about it. I've often wondered about people who work in museums. What do they do when they die? Do they just stand them on a shelf and leave them?
Well, some of them leave their bones in the will to the people at the museum. If you'd leave yours to me, I'd be very grateful.
You would, really? Well, of course, the bone in my head alone is worth a fortune, I mean.
It would be a fortune to me to measure it.
Yes, tell me, what is the weight of the average brain? What is the weight of the average brain? Have you any
idea?
Well,
we don't work with the inside. We usually work with the bones. It holds about 1,500 cubic centimeters of bone, but that's not weight.
Oh, that's not weight. You just work, you're like an inn man in an old minstrel show. You just work with the bones, I suppose. World is your interlocutor. Well, thank you, Miss Latman. But I don't see why a girl really doesn't have to be an anthropologist to go out and dig up a guy for a date on any special day.
I do that when I'm not digging bones.
I get it. Well, you've kind of taken the wind out of me, which is fortunate for the world, Miss Latman. All right, Portland.
Mr. Harry Nisselson of Jackson Heights, Long Island.
Well, good evening, Mr. Nisselson. May I ask you, you're from Jackson Heights, Long Island, are you?
Yes, sir.
May I ask you, are you in business over there?
Yes, sir.
You're not, you're in business? What sort of business, may I ask?
Stationery cigars.
Stationery and cigar store?
Newspapers, ice cream.
Well, I'm not in the market for anything like that.
No.
I couldn't go way over to Jackson Heights for an ice cream cone at 1 o'clock.
Not far away.
But tell me, how is business, Mr. Nisselson?
Oh, very fine.
Business is really good.
Exactly.
I'm glad. Just with you personally, I mean.
Well,
I'm glad to hear that. I know a fellow who's in your line of business over Nutley, New Jersey, has a little stationery and cigar store, and business is so bad with him, he's selling candy to children on the Morris plan, the little kids.
Very good.
If they can get a cosigner old enough to write, he'll let go of a lollipop
That's
for
fine.
six... You wouldn't be interested in putting that system in, would you?
Not in bed system. I'm not interested.
You're not interested.
Not I just want time.
Well, tell me, do you have a pinball machine in your cigar?
No, sir.
You don't have a... You don't have a pinball.
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in the pinball machine?
Sir.
You think that the pinball, young children shouldn't have access to pinball?
No, not at all.
You think it's harmful?
Not in the pinball machine.
You think the lights flashing on hurt their eyes at that age?
Exactly.
Well, I think you've got something there, Mr. Nicholson. And that brings us to our discussion. With Easter in
the
offing and new millinery styles on display, the topic of the moment, naturally, is women's hats. Now, pay close attention, Mr. Nicholson, because I want you to hear what this is going to be. Originally, huh? All right?
Sure.
Well, that's what all I want to know, that I've got your undivided attention, because if you're going to split it up around here, you know it gets embarrassing, a fraction of one's attention. But originally, women's chapeaux were designed as a protection from the elements. But down through the ages, milliners have run amok, and today we find women wearing anything from cocktail coasters to coffee rings for hats. Now, please, Mr. Nicholson, let us hold in, if we will, now. Now, our question tonight is... Please, now. Our question tonight is, do you think women should wear the grotesque creations the millinery trend encourages today, or do you think that women should demand hats that are less spectacular and more practical? Now, Mr. Nagel, please, may I ask, do you think women are overdoing it with the styles of hats they wear today?
Oh, I think they've gone far enough.
You think they've gone just about far enough, eh? If Mrs. Nagel came home some evening with a hat on that looked like a mop that had been wrung out, what would you do, Mr. Nagel?
Well, I'd take the hat off and put blinkers on her.
And try to get her in the third race the following day. Well, you have something there. Miss Lattman, you haven't a hat on right now, so I can't sort of judge your taste. What do you think about the present hat style?
Well, I think every woman should pick the hat that'll help her get her man and keep him.
You do, really? So between millinery and digging up bones, you see, I guess you're pretty busy, Miss Lattman. What possesses a woman to go out and buy a hat that looks like a yesterday's fruit salad or a midget's corsage? You know those things that they wear?
I know.
What possesses a woman
to... Well, the sales girl probably convinces her that she'll get her man with it.
Oh, the sales girl probably convinces her that she'll get her man. All right. I mean, that's your opinion.
That's what I think.
That's what you think. We'll have that in writing. I want to talk to you about that. Now, Mr. Nicholson, what do you think about these wear styles and women's hats?
Well, I believe in up to date.
You believe that women should be up to date?
Whatever they wear is up to date.
Whatever they wear is up to
date.
Whatever suits them personally?
They have to put it on.
Well,
whatever they like it, they wear it.
Whatever. You mean that's the easiest way for the married men? I mean, you keep peace that way.
I believe with my wife. Whatever she wears it is good.
As long as
it suits me too.
As long as it suits your
yes,
wife,
sir.
It suits
that's
you. Well,
fine.
That's very good, Mr. Nicholson. I'm happy to hear that. Of
thank
course,
you.
By the time a girl, by the time a girl, well, our round table stands nothing, Mr. Nicholson. Nine.
Yes,
it is obvious that we have wasted our time tonight. Women will go right on wearing hats that look like anything from a frustrated pen wiper to something I can't see here. Fortunately, most women show better taste in selecting their husbands than their millinery. If they didn't, a lot of wives would be walking around these days with some funny-looking guys. On this hilarious note, the meeting closes, and thank you all for your kind. That seems to bring us to Kenny Baker Preble's again. And Mr. Preble's song at this time is The Things I Love.
The glow of sunset in the summer skies, the golden sparkle of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A silver moonbeam peeping through the trees, a bed of tulips nodding in the breeze, the look you give in answer to my pleas. These are the things I love. I thought that life was just a winter thing. My heart was cold,
And then you came to me, and like a breath of spring, you turned the silver snow to gold. A robin's serenade when day is through, the babbling brook beside our rendezvous, your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things I love. They say that all who love are blind, but that is not the case with me. For more and more each day I find my love for you has made me see the glow of sunset in the summer skies, the golden sparkle of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A robin's serenade when day is through, a babbling brook beside our rendezvous, your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things, these are the things I love.
Thank you, Mr. Preebles.
Pardon me, friend. Here's a telegram just came in for you.
Oh, a telegram? Let's see what it says, Jimmy. Oh, shoot.
Bad news, friend?
Oh, very bad, Jimmy. This is from a friend of mine up in Maine who runs a poultry farm. He says here, my million-dollar idea has come a cropper.
What million-dollar idea?
Well, I told this fellow to get his hens in the pink of condition, sing them sad songs to make them blue, then show them an ostrich egg so they'd be green with envy.
But what for?
Well, so they'd lay colored eggs for Easter, of course. But listen to this telegram. It says, your idea is a dud. Two out of three eggs are white. The other one comes out a dingy plaid.
Say, that is bad news, friend.
Oh, it is. It's
yes. Well, duds are always bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Just as gasoline duds are bad news to your engine. Bad news to your pocketbook. That's why there's no place in Texaco Fire Chief for sluggish, slow-action duds that fail to vaporize, fail to take the spark quickly. They're out, removed by special steps in Texaco refining. Yes, Fire Chief gasoline is all power, active power. It vaporizes instantly, flashes your engine into action, supplies you with smooth acceleration and long mileage. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief gasoline. Remember, at regular gasoline prices, you're getting all action, not a dud in a tank full.
Now the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight, instead of presenting their usual skit, they take you behind the scenes in radio. As you folks doze peacefully beside your radios at home, many of you no doubt envy the radio comedian. What a life, you say. Nothing to do but clip old jokes out of magazines. No worries, nothing but laughter and applause. That's what you think. Little do you know what the radio comedian goes through each week, his trials, his tribulations. Well, tonight we show you the seamy side of the picture. It's called Shortcut to a Nervous Breakdown, or the radio comedian makes it the hard way. Our case history concerns the heartaches of an average radio comedian. Oh, let us call him Kenny Dank.
Any resemblance between the character known as Kenny Dank and any other Kenny Dank living or on the radio is purely coincidental.
Our average radio, average comedian is employed by an average advertising agency. Let's call the firm Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button.
Any resemblance between the firm of Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button and any existing firm named Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button is their tough luck.
And now our story starts. As the curtain rises...
Any resemblance between this curtain and any other curtain?
Well, we get the idea, Mr. Barrymore.
Oh.
The curtain rises on the office of Bolivar Balaam Button, president of the great advertising agency of Betten, Bitten, Ditto, etc. Bolivar Balaam Button is entering his executive sanctum. Good morning, Miss Yuck.
Morning, B.B. Are you ready to check on our newspaper and magazine copy?
No, Miss Yuck. Today, I'm checking over all of our agency radio programs. These are our radio surveys here.
Yes, sir. They sure add up to a lot of figures.
Well, these radio popularity ratings are very important, Miss Yuck. These figures here show whether our clients' programs are gaining or losing listeners. You see this one here? Fake It or Believe It, up 1.2. One Man's Relatives, up 2.6. Carborundum Carnival, up. The,
Something wrong?
Wrong? Our comedy program, the Kenny Dank Fun Fest, has gone down again. This is the second month in succession.
What's the rating?
Minus 2.2. Yay! If Kenny Dank sponsors Moriarty's Matzahs, if they find that no one is listening to his program, we'll lose the account. Now, when Dank comes in to read this week's script to the office boy for his reaction, tell him I want to see him.
Kenny Dank is outside now.
Well, send him in here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dank, please.
Hello, BB old sock.
Dank, your program is slipping. This is the second month you have gone down on the popularity survey.
Quit kidding, BB. I've been killing them.
Figures don't lie, Dank. You see, here's the Crosley report. Here's the Hooper that checks on the Crosley. Here's the Duper that checks on the Hooper. And the Booper. Now, according to the Booper Hooper Duper, you are down to minus 2.2.
Oh, that's nothing.
Well, minus 2 is less than nothing, Dank.
Well, I was on opposite two fireside chats last
now,
month.
Don't alibi, Dank. You can't blame him for everything. You're slipping. When a comedian slips, the advertising agency has to step in.
But the last time the agency stepped in, I went down 19 points.
Now, no heresy, Dank. Your program has got to be revised. Miss Yuck.
Yes, sir?
The agency has got to hype up Dank's program. Sound the conference bell.
Yes, sir. Conference, come and get it.
Bumble reporting. Jumble reporting.
Well, well, where's Bumble?
Bumble reporting.
Well, what held you up, Bumble?
I was licking an envelope, sir. I stopped to seal it.
Now, you know very well when you hear the conference gong, you are supposed to drop everything and report, Bumble. Yet you stopped to seal an envelope.
Yeah, but I have a dry mouth, sir. Took me 2 hours to work up a drool. I didn't want to lose it, sir.
All right, all right, all right. Now, let's get down to business. The Kenny Dank Fun Fest is slipping on all the radio surveys. Dank needs a new program, men, and what we need right now is an idea.
Check, check.
Check.
Men, we have got to change Dank's setup.
Check, check.
Check.
Men.
Check, check.
Check.
Now, accelerate, Bumble. You're slowing up the conference.
Oh, sorrow,
take,
sir.
Sorrow, yes, I know, but take a faster tempo. Now, men, we have got to hatch an idea. Let's mow, men.
Say, I've got an idea. How about cutting out Dank's singer and putting in a quartet?
But my program has a quartet now.
Yes, those
four
people.
Well, that finishes me. I'm only vice president in charge of suggesting we put in a quartet.
Hold everything. I just got a flash.
Well, lay it on the table, AJ.
How about cutting out the actors and putting in audience participation?
No, no, no. We've tried audience participation.
Well, then how about cutting out the audience and putting in actor participation?
Well, you can't cut out studio audiences and render thousands of people homeless.
Say, how about not making it a quiz program?
How about not making it an Aldrich family?
How about just not making it?
No, no, no. Now, wait a minute, men. I've got it.
What is it, Chief?
The new Kenny Dank Fun Fest will be what radio is crying for. This is something revolutionary.
What's that, BB?
It's a 30-minute program.
Yeah?
You follow me, men?
Uh-huh.
With an orchestra.
Yeah?
With the orchestra, we'll have instruments.
Yeah? Uh-huh.
A comedian.
Yeah?
And a guest star.
Wonderful!
Wonderful!
But that's exactly what my program is now, BB.
Great. That proves we're on the right track, Dank. Agency cooperation gets results every time. Well, the conference is over. Break it up. Break it up, man.
So long, Chief. So long, Chief.
So long, Miss Yuck.
Oh! Why, the idea.
Well, don't mind SB, Miss Yuck. He always relaxes for 20 seconds after a conference. Now, let me see. Where were we? Where were we?
We were fixing up my radio program.
Oh, yes. Now, what is your show this week, Dank?
Well, we're doing a burlesque of a moving picture.
A revolutionary idea. What picture is it?
The Sea Dog.
Here's the script.
Let me see. Very funny. Very funny.
What are you
going to say? Yes, very funny, but it isn't funny enough, Dank. The agency has got to hype it up. How many writers write your program?
16.
Well, no wonder your program is slipping. Trying to turn out a half-hour program with only 16 writers?
But, B.B.,
Miss Yuck, buzz for our agency gag man.
Yes, sir.
Our agency joke writers will make your sea dogs get your masterpiece, Dank. Come in, come in.
Company for Arch! Company, halt! Second platoon, company two of agency joke writers reporting, sir.
Very well, Lieutenant Glee. Here's Dank's script. Have your men put in some gags, polish it up, kick it around, live with it, sleep on it, and have it back in 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. Company, present pencils.
Gee, all those writers to fix up one little sketch?
Our men work fast, Dank. Come in.
Lieutenant Glee reporting, sir. Here's Dank's script. It's all gagged up.
Well, a little late, but nice work, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Gad, what an organization. We're the only advertising agency in the country with its own bugle.
Is my script ready now, B.B.?
Just one more thing, Dank. We'll have to step next door and consult all department heads for deletion.
Yes, sir.
Well, department heads, attention. Kenny Dank here is going to read his comedy script. I want you to check on it as he goes along.
Yes, sir.
Now, go ahead, Dank.
Well, the scene opens off the coast of Florida.
Just a minute.
Yes, sir?
Public relations can't pass any mention of Florida. California won't like it.
Florida is out, Dank.
Okay. Now there's a tropical storm.
Cut out the storm. Weather Bureau won't permit unauthorized storms.
But I...
Storm is out. Storm is out, Dank.
But there's a shipwreck. The storm blows the boat.
Have the boat run into a rock.
All right. The boat crashes into a rock.
The rock is out. The music department must. There's a rock in the Rock of Ages.
The rock is out, Dank. Go ahead.
But I don't see what harm
now,
a
you
rock...
You don't see. You don't see. Let me see the rest of those jokes there, Dank.
Here.
Let me see here. This poker game joke. Three vegetarians playing for small stakes. Small steaks offend vegetarians, Dank. It's out.
But you're ruining
it. It's out, Dank. And these other jokes here, let me see. Out. But, this one out. But, out. Out. There you are, Dank. You make these cuts I've marked here, and your sea dog sketch is perfect.
But you've taken out all the jokes. How will it sound on the air?
How will it sound? Great. Listen.
The Kenny Dank program is on the air. Tonight, Kenny Dank and his Fun Fest present The Sea Dog.
Ahoy, the mizzen man. Who's got a cigarette? Ahoy, the mizzen man. Who's got a match? Ahoy, the mizzen man.
The ship's sinking, Captain.
Then we're saved.
No, don't kill yourself.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain, put down that harpoon.
Ahoy, the mizzen man.
I quit. I can't go on the air with a thing like this.
What's wrong with it?
Why, even Fred Allen wouldn't use a sketch like this, and he'll use anything.
Dang.
By the time you agency guys and the broadcasting company get through cutting out a comedian's jokes, he isn't funny.
Exactly. And as the president of Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button, let me tell you, Dank, we cut out your stuff purposely. Radio is a big business. Radio comedians and radio itself must have one thing in common.
What's that?
They are not to be laughed at. Dank, you're fired. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for letting the Star Texaco Star Theater service your radio for this hour tonight. We'll be back to render the same service next Wednesday at Texaco time. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.